You're listening to Tin Pod Radio. This is Nick Brokenshire from the Once and Future Queen.
Conspiracy theories have always been around. Rumors, lies, propaganda, all things to usher in the powerful and control the weak. But what we consider a conspiracy theory in the modern world is more towards someone having to find answers not there, or maybe hidden within falsehoods and conjecture to help them through their day-to-day lives. Are conspiracy theories dangerous, or are they any different than believing in a religion or a comic book character? And do they even exist anymore in an information age of misinformation? Questions we could ask today, but probably won't. Welcome to Shortlisted, the podcast where we take a top 10 list off the internet, because there are a few, and talk about each topic on the list in a timed out amount of space. We just set a clock, talk for an hour, and then shut up no matter what. If we've made it through the list or not. We're not racing against time. We're shortlisting our big mouths. Today's top 10 list is 10 secret space missions conspiracies found on listverse.com. My name is Brian Williams.
I'm Erin Klein.
So how you doing today, Erin?
I am doing great. My kiddos are in bed. We've been playing outside all morning, and it is a wonderful Saturday. How about you?
Oh, it's pretty good here, too. Nice weather on a Saturday day.
Right. It's always nice when the weekend is nice and sunny and not rainy.
Just to give people an introduction, since this is the first episode of what might be a series, you want to tell people a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm Erin Klein, like I said, and my real world job is a teacher, a technology teacher in a public high school. And when I get to do what I want, I record Crime Crazy podcast, and I am also now starting Shortlisted with Brian. So to try something new.
And for people who don't know, my name's Brian Williams, and I have several podcasts on Tin Pod Radio, and my day job is actually a cook. Also at a school, by the way.
Oh, awesome.
So, that's cool.
Awesome.
And what we're going to do here, if you didn't listen to the introduction, was we're going to go through top 10 lists, because the internet has plenty of them.
Oh, my goodness. Everything is top 10 lists. Even if there aren't actually 10 things, it's top 10 lists.
Yeah. So, and we're going to cut this at an hour. That doesn't mean we're on a race, but I'd say an hour is a good time, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, let's see if we can get them all done in an hour.
Yeah.
I bet we can.
Yeah.
That'll be our goal.
That's our goal. So, the first one, and it is number 10, Alternative 3, the hoax broadcast that started it all. And almost immediately following the broadcast of the documentary Alternative 3 on Angola TV in the United Kingdom in 1977, there was a stream of calls from the general public expressing concern and confusion. The documentary told of a secret space program that had been operating for decades, in which the top scientists of the world had been establishing a base on Mars. The reason was anticipation of an impending disaster on Earth. Such was the concern that Angola TV had to admit that the show had been a hoax and was essentially a piece of fiction. It was originally intended to air on April 1st, but had been delayed and instead aired on June 20th. Some didn't buy it, though, and argued for years that the documentary was a true reflection of reality. The fake documentary unwittingly laid the foundation for the onslaught of theories about secret space missions and projects that would force their way into the mainstream consciousness over the years. So, what do you think about that?
Me up. It reminds me of a couple years ago, was it like 2013, when they had Shark Week and they did the Megalodon episode and everybody freaked out about finding Megalodons, and then they were like, no, that was just a joke. We were just, you know, like, I don't know why you would post like basically a piece of satire and not put some sort of disclaimer at the beginning. You know people are going to believe it if you put it out there.
Oh, yeah. I think they did that with, was it unicorns too, one year?
Quite possibly.
Yeah, I think they did. This also reminds me, also in the UK, there was a documentary where they did this with ghost hunters type thing, and mm-hmm. They posted it online. I mean, they posted it on, broadcast it, and they didn't tell anybody, and it had a scene where somebody was attacked and killed.
Oh my gosh.
And it caused outrage too because people thought it was real also.
Like a snuff film.
Yeah.
Oh, oh yikes. No, no thank you. I do think it's interesting. Like, I think it sort of plays on our basic fears, which I glanced through this list, and a lot of them were like that, right? That we might get left behind, that somebody is secretly preparing for a disaster and they're not telling us. That's just sort of a human fear, right, of being left out or left behind. And
yeah.
People in power know more than we do.
Yeah, that's at the root of, like, a lot of conspiracy theories is that, in a way, I think it's, like, enriching for some people to think like, oh, we don't have any control over anything. And
right.
In another way, it's that deep-rooted fear of what if we don't have any control of anything.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting that documentaries, even like the Blair Witch Project, a lot of people thought it was real, and they tried to say at the beginning that it was.
Right. Let's see if we can get people to believe this.
Do you know the story behind that, though, at the beginning of that?
It's based on a ghost story, like a true or supposedly true story, right?
Yeah, and one of the funny things is the movie came out, and it was like, a lot of people like thought it was real and everything else, but then one of the actresses, I think it's the one that was at the very end of it, appeared in a Burger King commercial like the first week the movie was out.
Oh my gosh. Way to ruin it for everybody.
And another side movie tidbit about that, the people, that movie actually made a ton of money, but they actually got no money for it because there was a lawsuit and they had ripped off another movie or something like that.
Oh, that stinks. That stinks for all the people who were involved that, you know, were involved in stealing it.
Yeah, it does.
I didn't know.
So, like, the next one is Project Serpo.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2005, shows you how old I am, I still say 19 and stuff.
It seems like it was just 1990, like a year ago.
Yeah. In 2005, a story surfaced on the internet regarding a secret space program that was aimed at opening communication with extraterrestrials that inhabited Serpo, an alleged planet in the Beta Rictala system. The story came courtesy of Victor Martinez, who claimed to work for the U.S. government. The source of the information wished to remain anonymous. According to the whistleblower, the government had recovered a surviving crew member of the Roswell crash, as well as the alien craft and several dead alien crew members. The surviving alien lived in a secret location until 1952, during which time it was assisted scientists in reverse engineering and repairing the remains of its craft. It also helped to establish communication with the aliens on its home planet. By 1964, Ebens returned to Earth and entered into talks with the U.S. government about an exchange program of sorts, Project Serpo. 12 people from all arms of the military were selected for the mission, and their civilian records were wiped out. They left Earth in 1965 to learn what they could from their hosts. According to the source, communications were lost with the 12 space travelers for several years. But they did return home in 1978. However, their numbers were now only 8. Apparently, 2 had died during the mission and 2 had opted to stay on planet Serpo. Those who returned were intensely debriefed by the authorities, with the statements claimed to have run over 3,000 pages long.
This would make such a great novel.
Yeah.
I would read the heck out of this novel. It's got everything. It's got Roswell and ships and foreign exchange on a space scale.
One of the things I found interesting about this one, if you watch the X-Files, there's kind of like a little bit of that in the X-Files.
Right.
Yeah, there's a
thing. I imagine a lot of these show up in shows like that.
Yeah.
You know, just even a little bit.
Yeah, there's a storyline going into the X-Files where there was like an exchange program for years with aliens or something like that too, which I think is weird. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, an exchange program, it looks like we sent 12 people. Mm-hmm. Did we have any aliens come visit us other than the one that crash-landed in Roswell?
Maybe we weren't interesting enough.
Maybe. We really want to go see you, but we know that you think we're boring. We can't even make spaceships.
And I find the end part of it where it's like over 3,000 pages. That's really not that much if you visited an alien world.
Right, for what, 13 years they were gone? That's yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah, you could write like a lot about that.
Right. So I'm just thinking those 3,000 pages, wherever they are, they need to be just published as a work of science fiction, and we'll all read it. It'd be good just like that.
And one of the things, like, whenever I see something about something just surfaced on the internet and stuff like that, it's like, who finds this stuff and decides, like, okay, this is going to be the big thing we're running with or something?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, there was another one on this list that we'll get to later that I think that we should start making our own rumors and see if we can get people to believe them.
One of my fiction stories I've written actually has and I basically did it by taking, like, all half stories I'd written and never finished and stuff. And mm-hmm. I threw it together as, like, this was found and used by cultists to make a cult. And it was just, like, loose writing found in a dumpster somewhere or something like
that.
Oh,
neat. That's neat. Recycle all of your not finished works.
Yeah. Okay. That's number cool. 8 on our list is called Solar Warden. And by the way, I am the worst person at pronouncing stuff, so we're going to have a lot of that.
Okay, fair enough.
According to the Solar Warden theory, there is a secret fleet of spaceships that keeps a permanent presence in our solar system. Theories differ as to the purpose of this top secret space fleet. Some believe that it patrols the outer reaches of space and defends us against any would-be alien attacks. Others believe that the project is being used to colonize parts of the solar system, possibly for the so-called elite. Skeptics argue that to fund such a fleet, assuming for 1 minute that we had managed to lay our hands on the technology, would cost billions of dollars. Believers in the theory argue that aside from the black budget, there is another budget even deeper underground that the technology is likely the result of reverse engineering alien aircraft. Most people accept that the technology that exists in secret right now is usually about 20 or so years ahead of what the general public realizes is available. As unlikely as their particular theory is, Dr. Eric Norton, a consultant with NASA, stated that he believed that there was a fleet of technologically advanced spaceships on the other side of the moon. He stated that he first discovered a fleet in 2012. Within 12 months, he claimed that that Mars was now much further behind the fleet than it was the previous year, suggesting that whoever it was, they were heading our way.
Okay. So, basically, Eric Norton is saying it's not our people who have made this fleet, but there is a fleet out there.
Yeah.
Okay. So, if they were between Mars and Earth in 2012, is there... I feel like he owes us an update. Where are they now? They should be getting close by now.
Yeah, it sounds like the end of the world, people. Like, whenever they're like, it's going to end on a certain date, and that date passes, right. You usually right. don't hear from them again.
Right. And it's like, we miscalculated. We actually meant.
Yeah. We'll set that 10 more years ahead of time.
Right. How long till you guys forget that we messed up the first time? How about 10 years?
It reminds me of people putting off a deadline. Like,
yes.
I keep putting it off 10 years.
Well, and like in that first one, the number 10 where they were trying to get it out on April 1st so that it could be an April Fool's joke, that almost makes sense. And then they didn't publish it, or they didn't produce it until June. Yeah, way to miss that deadline. That was kind of a crucial deadline.
Yeah, that was. It was like, oops.
Whoops, now it's not funny anymore. June 20th is not really anything.
It makes me wonder how many of these things, because a lot of them come from the modern internet age, with somebody just throwing a bit of fiction online and people took it as being like some kind of real theory or not.
Right. Well, and so like I wonder if Eric Norton even is a NASA consultant, or did he just say, I'm a NASA consultant and here's what I found? Because several of these stories have people that were like, oh, well, I was there. I used to work for this blah, blah, blah. And really? I mean, do we have any proof that that's a real thing? Does NASA want to jump in and tell us?
Well, you know, Cape Canaveral's not far from me. Right now, I should go knock on the door and ask him if Eric Norton's there.
Yeah, I bet you'd get a really great answer if you just walked up and tried to knock on the door. You're like, I've been reading space conspiracies, and we got to talk.
They would love that.
Right. I I do definitely believe, like, I think that it's probably without a doubt true that companies and probably government agencies and all that have technology that we haven't seen. I mean, that's where it all starts. Wherever the money is, that's where they're doing the research and creating the technology. And it does take some time to dribble down to us, right? Like some of the AI technology and the voice-activated speakers and all of those kinds of things. They're not brand new. They're just sort of brand new to us. But I don't know, about 20 years ahead, that's a lot, especially at the rate that technology is growing now. 20 years ahead is a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and the vast amount for, like, actual deep space travel is, like, a huge thing that we're not even close to now. Like,
right. Like
you said, like the internet was around as a government thing way before people had access to it.
Right.
And there's a lot of technology like that. But for even for, like if you look into space travel, let's say, like, Star Trek or something like that, that's just beyond anything we're even close to doing right now.
Right. Yeah. So, no, we can get to some planets, and there are probably some experiments going on that we have no idea about that might further us even more, but that not to this level. It'd be neat. It's a neat thing to think about, and it might happen someday, but I think that not in 2017.
So number 7 on our list is Project Horizon. In 2014, the National Security Archive released documents detailing Project Horizon, a secret project started in 1959 to study the possibility of setting up a permanent base on the moon. Rather than being geared toward enhancing our knowledge and perception of space and beyond, however, the program was aimed primarily at getting one over on the Soviet Union as the Cold War rattled into the 1960s. The plans refer to creating a moon-to-Earth surveillance system as an observation post for Earth. Further, those collecting the data and providing the initial report stated that they believe that construction should begin as soon as possible. Although the U.S. did manage to land men on the moon several times between 69 and 72, and let's agree that the moon landings did happen for sake of this entry, they only manage very short stays to carry out basic experiments and collect rock samples. Of course, that is what we were told. Some conspiracy theorists will tell you that the moon missions were just a cover-up and the installation of permanent base was going on in the background while the public remained unaware. The official release documents may be found in the National Archives.
So, basically, this one's, what, like, half true? That they really did a study to see if we can inhabit the moon and use it to spy on Russia, but then people believe that it was carried out? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, they're basically trying to say that we have a base on the moon. Like, the fact that NASA has always been used as a lot of military capabilities is true. Like, we want to paint it as being pure scientific. But the government will not allow any space travel to happen without having their own hands in it and it being useful to them.
Right.
Yeah, so that's a lot of truth. But this thing's trying to say we actually put a base on the moon.
Right.
And we have it totally
on Earth.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem like the hugest waste of resources that we could think of? I mean, there are so many ways to spy on other countries that don't involve building something on the moon. That just seems bizarre to me that we would consider, that anybody would think that that would be a good idea. I mean, a satellite would be so much cheaper, and you can move it around, and you can spy on whoever you want. Why on earth would we build something on the moon for that?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, really, because even back then, we had satellites that could take rough pictures of the Earth.
Right.
So, like, it's... Like, I don't get that one at all, unless you're just going off totally for science fiction reasons to say
right.
that. But as a conspiracy, I don't think it works, really.
No. I mean, it's nice. I would love to think that somebody smarter and richer and more technologically savvy than me is, like, thinking about the future and finding other places for us to live if we do completely destroy this planet. But I don't think that's happening. I mean, I think people think about it, and they talk about it, and they come up with plans. But I really don't think that if we could get in a spaceship right now, that there's anywhere that we could go and find one of these places. That just seems ridiculous to me, but we're going to have so much hate mail from conspiracy theorists.
This reminds me, though, because the whole moon base thing, have you ever seen the independent film Iron Sky?
No.
It's a cheap independent film, and it actually started by, they created a trailer for it, and then it got so popular they funded it as a movie. And it's basically, if World War II, the Nazis had sent people to live on the moon.
Okay.
And then people go to the moon, they find the Nazis there, and then the Nazis come back to Earth. It's weird and crazy, but it's called Iron Sky. You should look it up, and any listener should look it up too. It's just one of those weird movies that got a lot of fan traction because of a trailer that somebody made, which was really cool as a trailer, but it's just weird. But it's Nazis on the moon.
It sounds like something that, like, Mystery Science Theater would talk over.
Oh, yeah. That would be, like, a good one for them.
That would be a good one, yeah. Oh, we used to watch this all the time. That's what I should do today, is just spend the whole day looking up old Mystery Science Theater stuff and watching it.
Well, they got the new ones out now. Do you know about that?
Oh, yeah? No. Well, we don't really do cable or anything here, so I get whatever shows up on Netflix. So.
Oh, well, they released it on Netflix. It's a new show.
Awesome.
Yeah, so you should check that out. I haven't even watched it yet, though, but I used to watch all old Mystery Science Theater.
Right. Maybe after little kid bedtime tonight, it'll be a movie night.
Okay, number six on our list is the Rosetta Conspiracy. Mm. And is it me, or is that word used a lot for conspiracies and stuff like Rosetta?
There was the Rosetta Stone, which I think just captured so many people's imaginations that now it's like a thing.
Yeah, I have this, like, huge book. It's, like, conspiracies and secret societies I use for, like, writing stuff. And, like, there's a Rosetta this and a Rosetta that, like, all over that book.
right, yeah.
But
I think it makes sense. It'd be, like, the pyramids show up in a lot of conspiracies and certain shapes show up in a lot of conspiracies. I think they're just, you know, something about them feels mystical or is in some way related to something that might be slightly true and mystical. Like, the Rosetta Stone, not to say it's mystical, but, like, it's a big discovery. It was a big sort of history-changing thing. So it makes sense that it would show up over and over again in people's stories.
Yeah, it's like we were talking about before with Nazis, and they'll be mentioned later on this list.
Yeah.
They're all through conspiracy theories.
Right.
They terminate all that.
They were a little bit cool. I mean, not cool, but they were a little bit, like, powerful, fascinating. They did crazy things, and that just captures people's imagination.
Yeah. Well, the Rosetta Conspiracy, in late 2014, the European Space Agency landed a Rosetta probe on Comet 67P Chironov or something. I don't know.
In my notes, I only wrote down, like, 6-7-P.
Yeah. it allowed a close study of the composition of a comet for the first time, and also opened the possibility of future space mining operations for valuable material that may be within the speeding chunks of a rock. A historic moment, no doubt, but to some, the official story was a cover-up. Comet 67P was not a comet at all, they claimed. It was an alien craft, and both the European Space Agency and NASA were keeping quiet about it. They also stated that not only had a whistleblower come forward, but it would be absurd to think that the collective space agencies would suddenly spend billions of dollars just to get pictures of a random comet on a mission that would take over a decade to fulfill. They went on to state that NASA had detected mysterious space signals over two decades earlier coming from the area of Comet 67P. Supposedly, the composition of the comet appeared to be artificial and had machine-like parts on the outside of the hurtling mass. For their part, the European Space Agency fueled the conspiracy theory that when they stated that Comet 67P had sent out a mystery song of sorts.
So this one, I had so many thoughts. First of all, do we mine in space? Do you know if we are actively mining comets or the moon or anywhere? Like, why are we not doing that? That seems super lucrative, or potentially super lucrative.
I think it's just a matter of, like, right now it would cost so much to do it.
Right.
Yeah, it wouldn't be lucrative, and I think, like, from what I understand, knowing some people that have, like, worked in the field, being, like, near NASA, I've talked to people, like, this is something that's big on that. Because for them to fund anything, like, you got to get the government interested, like I said before, because they got to have their stake and have it be worth something, and it also has to make money.
Right.
For the original space program, it was to beat the Russians into space or beat them to the moon. And it was also to create products by space experiments. So I think the more interest people start seeing in mining in space, you're going to see it happen more and more.
Right.
But, like, right now, I just don't think it's worth it to do it. But also, you got
the technology.
Yeah, also, you got the international. Like, a lot of people think there may be a war started one of these days over space travel. Like, you'll have somebody claiming space one of these days.
Sure. That's what we did to Earth.
Yeah.
Everybody went around and stuck their flag in and said, this is mine, and that pissed somebody else off. And then, so sure, why wouldn't that happen on the moon and on Mars and on asteroids and comets? And
I mean, you already see it with, like me being near NASA with some of the independent space travel companies that are launching right now, like the private companies, but they're launching through government facilities. So the government's still got its hand in all that.
Right.
So,
well, and it makes sense, too, that you wouldn't want to build your own facility from scratch if there's one that exists that you can rent or use or...
Yeah. Plus, the government's not going to let you... Like, air travel, you can't do that just by yourself. You got to be approved and, like, certified and have the government approve it and everything else to even fly your own private plane. So they're not going to let anybody fly into space if it's private. But I think it's something that's actually going to happen maybe in our lifetime.
Well, and there's one of these conspiracies, too, that sort of hints that, you know, if you buy into it, then maybe it is already happening. But, yeah, no, I think there definitely will be. I mean, there are so many rich people with so much power, like, it sort of surprises me that Trump's not working on that angle. First president in space.
Well, it's like the rich people who have flown to space in some of the Russian rockets because they paid out of pocket to do it and stuff.
Right.
So, you never know. I don't know if you know anything about it, but the one mission to Mars where people were talking about doing would be a one-way trip.
Oh, that's terrifying to me. I never want to go into space. I think it's fascinating. I'm happy for people to do it and then tell me stories. But personally, I never... It just feels like drowning to me. It's like one of my biggest fears.
Yeah, even flying on a plane, even though I'm not scared of flying, but I don't like it. I don't see how I could do space.
Right. I don't mind planes. I can't stand airports, but I don't mind flying on a plane generally. I figure if I'm going to crash and die on a plane, I'm not really going to know that that's happening. I'm going to pass out as the altitude declines so quickly, and then it'll be over, and I won't know. But which is just maybe wishful thinking. But yeah, I don't like the idea. I've read some novels where people go out into space and then, like, somehow lose their connection to their ship or to the planet or whatever else, and they're just kind of floating, and then there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. And back to the mining subject, I don't know if you read, like, a ton of science fiction, but that's used a lot in science fiction. Like, there's mining operations and stuff like that.
Well, I think that's probably in our future, because at some point, if we had the technology to mine outside of our planet, we could go and get resources that we don't have access to, or we could go and get resources without destroying the living things here. Like, how amazing would it be to find an asteroid that's just full of oil, you know, or whatever it is that we're using at that point?
Yeah, even like something like gold, which is kind of rare here, but it's also used for... like conductive things for like technology, they might need a massive amount to do like space travel and stuff.
Sure, and it's going to totally disrupt the economy and everything else, and it's going to be a big problem. But I think that if they could, you know, work all of that out, that eventually I think that's realistic and in the future. I don't think it's happening now, but I think it's in the future. And I think I can picture government saying, okay, we need to research this because probably other countries are going to research this. Let's get together and fly out and see what materials are in this comet and if we can ever use them. And I don't think that that was a strange waste of money like the conspiracy theory says.
I don't either. Like, and also I think it's weird that, like, the thing of a lot of conspiracy theories is they grab one little thing and they go off from it. And, like, this one was basically somebody, a scientist, saying there was a mysterious song coming from it, which is probably him just misspeaking and saying there was a mysterious sound coming from it.
Right, or some sort of pattern. Or, and really, if you're not familiar with something, it's sort of automatically mysterious. So if it's one of the first ones that you've really studied, then, yeah, it sounds different than everything else because it's new, right? That's, I don't know. There was just so much in this that they're like, oh, this is weird, this is weird, this is weird. And I felt like they were all totally understandable and explainable.
And I think conspiracy theories, one of the things I always think about it is, like, I've always thought that most people are artists in some way. Like, when people say, I can't write or I can't do art, I'm like, yeah, you can. You might not be a high level, but you can. And I think with conspiracy theories, people's mind automatically goes to fiction. But yeah, instead of writing it, they come up with these things automatically that, oh, this could be real or this could be this.
Right. Right. Just the storytelling. Well, humans love to storytell. Also, the other part of this that I thought was just ridiculous was, for, if they thought it was a ship, then these aliens have got, and I guess they disguised it as a rock, or they built it out of a rock. Like, they have some technology that we definitely don't have. And yet they just allowed us to land on their craft and explore, and that was okay with the aliens?
Yeah.
I would think they'd have some sort of technology to kick you off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that part I didn't understand either. Like,
Right. But, I'm just going to picture a steampunk comet flying through space.
That's what I was thinking of, something like that. Or I was thinking about when I was little, they had these toys that were basically rock people.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically came from space, and then they, as like meteors, but then they opened up and they were like rocks. And that's what I automatically thought of.
Oh, sort of like a transformer, but not a car and a person, just a naturally occurring something in a person.
Yeah, they were actually part of like the He-Man toys.
Oh, okay.
They were one of those, but they were rock something or other. I forgot what it was, but that's what me, I automatically thought of.
Right, right. Just bursts into this other thing. Yeah, no, I think that one is silly. Although, from this point on, they get even sillier.
Yeah, it makes me wonder about some of these top 10 lists. Is like, why are they counting down? Because it's not like, are you counting down the best ones or the weirdest ones?
Right, this must just be like the most bizarre. It must be like least bizarre to most bizarre. Or, I don't know, most possible to least possible. Well, no, except that number 9 was aliens. Traveling to visit aliens, so no, it can't be that. I don't know.
But it's telling that they leave the Nazis until later on the list, so.
Right. Gotta have Nazis in every conspiracy theory.
Well, number 5 is time travel to Mars. And this one's, according to informants, Michael Relfi and Dr. Andrew D. Basiga, the CIA was involved in time travel operations as far back as the late 60s. This not only allowed them to travel in time, but also to teleport to Mars. Some people even stated that they had managed to achieve this portal by stealing Nikola Tesla's papers.
So, that's all it takes.
Yeah, that one, like, and I'm going to stop short on that one because it, like, basically says the same thing as it goes on. And skip down to a little bit more where it's like, they claimed that in 1961, he was shown images of the 9/11 attacks on the Twin Towers, which is another one of those points in history they use to connect conspiracies.
Right. If that was true, which of course it is ridiculous and not true, but if it were, what a dick. He didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
He knew that was coming. All those people were going to die. It was going to upset the entire country. He'd seen the photographic evidence. He's just going to keep that under his hat.
I find this one interesting that it connects like five different conspiracy things, because it goes, okay, you're doing time travel, but then,
right.
And then you're using it to travel to Mars to find aliens.
Right.
And then to predict the future and stuff like that.
Right. Right, all those things. And, yeah, and then we can connect with, like, 9/11, and we can, didn't they say something about they were using children?
Yeah.
Their brains could better cope with time travel, and, which, that's just sick, but whatever.
Well, the thing about that, like, there's a couple of real government experiments, and just because the government experimented on anything doesn't mean they got anywhere with it.
Right,
and the
right.
government did actually have an operation where they did try to do psychic experiments to time travel and to travel in physical space. It didn't do anything. That George Clooney movie about, like, staring at goats is based on the real operation for that.
Gotcha.
But nothing actually came of it. So they're taking a real thing that actually nothing happened with it, which they did use children for it, by the way, if you read about it. And
I mean, I understand why you would. That yeah. Children have all sorts of imaginations, and they don't know the laws of physics and everything else. So if it's a matter of being open-minded, then they're the right ones to go to. But they're also children. Leave them alone.
This is one, like, when I immediately read it, the first thing that I thought of is if I handed this into an editor as a story, they would say, pick what you want to really write about.
Yes, it had lots of different parts and thoughts, and yeah, absolutely.
But, and the throw in of the 9/11 thing is like, when I was younger, there was a lot of science fiction stories about stopping Pearl Harbor at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
There's actually one called, I think, the Philadelphia Experiment, which goes on that. They're trying to stop Pearl Harbor by traveling in time and stuff like that.
Right. The thought of time travel hurts my head so much. I just can't wrap my mind around if it could ever work or how it would work or why it doesn't work. It just, that hurts my head.
Well, as a writer, even though my favorite TV show is Doctor Who, which has time travel in it.
Right.
But as a writer, I don't really like going into it because the moment you do, you're automatically making a lot of work for yourself.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Well, and you're opening up so many possibilities that some of your rules don't work anymore.
Yeah. And you got to follow some kind of rules or it just ends up being a mess, too.
Right, right. Yeah, if just pure time travel is possible, then no event is safe. Like, you can just do anything. Doesn't Doctor Who deal with that by saying, like, certain events can't ever be changed? They're like,
well, he says, like, there's focal points in time, which are, like, if you change them, a lot of stuff will just unravel from there, and it'll cause disaster. And
so they have to be that way.
Yeah, so you would never change them. And then there's also points in time which can't be changed because the world was leading to it anyways. Like, people talk about World War II. World War II wasn't just one event that created World War II or World War I. It was a lot of stuff leading up to it. So if you take one thing out, it would still happen.
It's too complicated. Too many causes and effects.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And also, like, something like Doctor Who, they've always said that time finds its way of correcting. So if you change something, it'll correct itself and lead down a path it's going to anyways.
So yeah, you'd have to have some definite rules with all of that. And you know what, maybe that's why this whistleblower claims he didn't say anything about 9/11, because it just needed to happen, but still.
Yeah.
I've watched so many movies and footage from that, and really, you didn't say anything.
Oh, I skipped one part. I skipped one part, but like the whole Martian thing that it brings up, like them finding Martians on Mars.
Oh.
Yeah, like them going to Mars by time traveling to Mars, which is a weird thing. Like, I've never seen somebody use time travel to physically travel mentally in a way, which I find interesting as a writer. You're going to do that, but like, the fascination we have with Mars is also one of those things that comes a lot in conspiracies.
Well, right, because it's close enough that we can think about it, but far enough that nobody's going to prove us right or wrong right now.
One interesting thing I wanted to ask you about, since you do a series that goes into crime and true crime, and your last episode had cannibalism in it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which was good for me to do while I'm sitting there cooking and I'm listening to this.
Yeah, we had just eaten. It was really bad. I thought Jordan was going to get sick all over my couch. But she kept gagging and hiccuping.
Do you think, like, conspiracies is a way for people not to face up to the basic realities of stuff like that?
Just a distraction from what is actually happening?
Yeah.
It definitely could be. I mean, it's storytelling, right? Like, when I'm having a rough day, I will find some space and listen to an audiobook or read a book, like delve into somebody else's world where none of the problems are mine. So I definitely think it could be. I think, too, that there's a lot of fear of being the one left out or being, you know, something happening that you're not privy to, being an outsider. And I think a lot of these conspiracies just sound like, hey, guys, we might all be outsiders. We have to figure out what's going on. Somebody's keeping a secret, just playing on that sort of basic human insecurity.
Yeah, I agree. Like, even, like y'all have a podcast, and there's quite a bit of like, true crime, like, stories these days from TV shows to podcasts and
yes.
everything. And that's, like, I think a way for people to cope with stuff, too. Like, they're looking at that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because those things are horrible and bad, and they did not happen to me, you know. And so I can take a break from the stuff that's going on in my life and learn about these other really fascinating, crazy, extreme examples of a bad day.
So now our next one finally gets us to Nazis.
Yay, Nazi time! Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong response.
That should be like the History Channel's thing, because every other episode's a Nazi episode.
Yeah. Well, especially currently. Yeah. With everything going on right now, Nazis are making a big comeback in news and media. And
that's something nobody ever thought they'd say. Nazis is making a comeback.
I know.
But this is like secret Nazi space program for reptilian guidance. And this
I love this one. This one is, like, my favorite. I just want to crack up about it.
And this is another one that goes, like, it uses a bunch of different conspiracies, but we'll talk about that after I get through it. But although it is a common knowledge that the Nazis claimed a piece of Antarctica as their own, and that the reason for being there was likely to set up a secret base of sorts, some people may not be aware that the Nazis were actually setting up a secret space program from the uppermost northern areas of Earth. What's more, they were given the knowledge to do so from reptilian aliens. The claims come from U.S. Navy intelligence officer William Tompkins, who states quite clearly that as an extraterrestrial race of reptilian aliens gave the Nazis the knowledge to set up their space program. The aliens also guided the Nazis to the sanctuary of the secret areas of Antarctica, which were controlled by the supposed ancient alien race. Whether the Nazis ever succeeded in a space program, if it ever did exist, is unknown. However, there have been conspiracy theories for some time that they were not only successful, but even managed to establish a base on the moon through Operation Paperclip at the end of World War II. These Nazi scientists supposedly carried on their work for the U.S. government.
Oh, well, nice. We hired them in the end.
Well, that's true. We did.
Well, right. But so this one has so many things. Like, okay, let's start with the reptiles. Why are aliens reptilian? Who thinks this is space is cold. Reptiles are cold-blooded. This just would not work for them to be living at the poles and all of that kind of thing. Is it just that they're scary? Like, reptiles are scary to humans, so let's make our aliens reptilian? What is... Is there some logic behind this that I don't know?
Yeah, I think it's that, but I also think it goes back maybe some kind of ancient fear of reptiles or something that's within our DNA. We hate
right.
them.
Right, right. Well, I know that, you know, like people are afraid of snakes and spiders, and one of the reasons that those are two really big fears is because we have trouble empathizing with them because they look and operate and live so differently than we do. So we see them as a threat because we can't understand what their lives are like. But I don't know. I just, reptilian aliens throws me every time because it just doesn't make sense. Like, if you were going to choose something, presumably humans are the smartest things on our planet and the most likely to do sort of interstellar travel, right? So wouldn't an alien need to be more evolved, like a human is more evolved than a reptile?
Yeah, I would think so. And, like, reptiles aren't even the smartest animals on the planet. Like,
no, definitely not.
I mean, I guess if you make something look like a dog or something like that, people aren't going to be scared of it, but...
right. But. Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was silly. But then also, so these aliens are supporting Nazis, right? That was the story. They are helping them build, giving them secrets about living in these unlivable places. And why did they choose the Nazis? Of all of the civilizations, they were like, hey, yeah, Nazis.
Well, I guess it's the thing is, like, because, like, this conspiracy uses some facts with another conspiracy, because, like, the facts about us hiring Nazis after World War II is true. I mean, there's that famous joke of, if you walk into NASA and say Zig Heil, everybody will stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did used to have, we hired a bunch of Nazis to help the space program and stuff.
Right.
And also the fact that the Antarctica thing is a true thing. They did set up a base at Antarctica, but, you know, that was for a possible invasion if it happened.
Right, and that seems like such a waste of time, too.
Yeah, and then you come into a conspiracy about the reptilian people. Have you ever heard of that conspiracy before?
I mean, I'm just sort of familiar with, like, the idea that aliens, that there are reptilian aliens that live among us, and I don't really know much about it, but...
Yeah, and it's supposed to be... It's one of those things where almost everybody famous is one of them. Like, the royal family in Britain is supposed to be one. And supposedly Hitler, and maybe this is where this connection, supposedly Hitler was supposed to be one. And, like, it's used a lot. If you look in conspiracy books and websites, the reptilian people are supposed to be one of the biggest conspiracies that run things today. Like, with the New World Order and all that stuff, it's supposed to be them. So these people took two different things and threw them together and really created this one.
Right. So what makes them reptilian? Are they reptiles in their true form? Do they look like reptiles in their true form? Are they cold-blooded and scaly and lay eggs? What classifies them as reptilian?
The oldest reptilian conspiracies of, like, the one where it's, like, supposed to be the ruling class, they're actually supposed to be... And here's another conspiracy theory thrown in, is the hollow earth thing, where people say that the earth is hollow and living within it is an ancient reptilian race, and they actually, some of them come and they put almost like a human skin on, but they're from the center of the earth.
Yeah, that's another one of my things. Space travel and underground, nope. No, thank you. I would like to check out.
What's amazing is the whole Hollow Earth thing is getting mainstream, like, press now. There's been, like, professional athletes and stuff say they believe Hollow Earth.
Really?
Yeah. That the Earth is actually hollow.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Like, physics. It doesn't make any sense.
But, like...
It's a nice idea.
So these people have whoever come up with this conspiracy took this old story about the reptilian people and stuff, and made them aliens, which they wouldn't be originally. They would be probably the original Earth people.
Right.
Which is, they use that in Doctor Who. Speaking of Doctor Who, there's a race of aliens that are underground reptilian-like people in it.
Are they on another planet, or are they here?
No, they're here. They're the original inhabitants of Earth.
Oh, okay. So they're not really technically aliens.
No. But that's what you said about this conspiracy theory, is saying that these are aliens, and I don't think reptile aliens really makes as much sense to me as reptiles being here all along.
Right. I just don't know that they'd stay reptiles. Like, what would be the evolutionary advantage to staying reptilian? Wouldn't they eventually evolve like we did into mammals, or at the very least, like, some super smart hybrid between mammals and fish?
Yeah, that's one thing you gotta think about. It's like, if you look at an evolutionary standpoint, would they have changed to a point where they don't even look like reptiles anymore, basically? Maybe just have green skin or something like that.
I mean, I could see something, like, you would maybe something a little bit tougher or more, we're awfully squishy and vulnerable, so perhaps some tougher skin would be important. I could see where, depending on whether they're violent or not, some different things like sharp teeth, sharp nails, that might be important. But overall, I would think, especially if you're living in a place where you can't have really good control over the temperatures, you definitely want to be warm-blooded.
Yeah, and
you want thumbs.
Yeah, and like this conspiracy is probably at the root of that movie I told you about, because it has the Nazis on the moon and stuff. But
I
think, like, with you were talking about, like, why we look at reptilians for, like, aliens and stuff. I think maybe it's the whole warm, cold-blooded thing that we can always, like, say they're so totally different than us in a lot of ways. So, like, we can hate it. It's easier to hate that if it's totally different than us.
Right, and be afraid of it. Worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were going to make them intelligent beasts that involved, why wouldn't they be, like, pigs or something? They're really smart.
Sure, or an octopus. That's, like, my favorite animal that you wouldn't think is smart that's really, really smart.
Yeah, they like collecting things. They're like me.
Yeah. I love them. I love that all the stories about aquariums where they just climb out of their cage. Some of them will come out of their tank, and then they'll go back in their tank, and their, you know, keepers are always looking for them, because they just, you can't do anything. They know how to use tools. They know how to open things.
Have you ever been to a touch tank where you can have one wrap around you?
No, I went a couple weeks ago to a touch tank with stingrays, which are, like, my second favorite animal, and I got to pet them, but of course they're not anything like an octopus. I mean, they're sort of slimy, so I guess that's kind of like an octopus. They live in the water, you know, but that would be the best. I want to do that.
Yeah, we did the stingray thing, too, but I did the octopus thing, and it's really weird because, like, the whole suction thing on your arm.
Yeah, they give you, like, octopus hickeys.
Yeah, and what's weird is, like, you don't think, like, well, this thing couldn't hurt me, but they can actually get pretty tight on your arm, like your wrist.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
So, like,
I believe it. Well, and they have that one beak. You gotta stay away from their one sharp bony point in their whole body.
Which is one of the scariest spaces in nature, if you ask me, the beak of them.
Yeah. No, well, it's super strong. Beaks from anything, like bird beaks, are terrifying too to me, because they're really, really strong. I was playing with our friend Mike, who was actually the guest on our fourth podcast episode on Cry Crazy. We were over at his house, and he had a parrot, and I was like, can I pet the parrot? He said, well, yeah, but just keep in mind, if he decides to bite you, he can crack walnuts with his beak. And I was like, oh, never mind. Because he was only like 6 inches tall. He's really little, but I'm not going to stick my finger in there if he can crack walnuts with that tiny little beak.
Yeah, I didn't even know, like, the small birds could do that.
Yeah, apparently this one's a little vicious. He just shrieked at us the whole time. Every time I stopped talking directly to him, he'd scream.
So number three on our list is remote viewing to Jupiter. This goes back to, like, the Mars thing a little bit, because they remote viewed, basically traveled to Mars in that one.
Mm-hmm. So I want to change what I said earlier.
What?
The Nazi one is not my favorite. This one is my favorite.
Oh, this one's your favorite? Okay.
Somebody needs to write this into a novel, please, so I can read it. Actually, probably already is.
Okay. One of the craziest alleged secret space programs was said to have occurred without anyone actually leaving Earth, at least not in their physical bodies. Before Pioneer 10 sent back the first close-up images of Jupiter from its historic journey through the asteroid belt, the CIA had allegedly been involved in secret experiments and programs concerning remote viewing. They enlisted Stanford University scientists to assist in the project. One of the people in this program was a gentleman named Ingo Swan. People took note of Swan's claims of remote viewing, traveling out of his body, leaving Earth, passing Mars, an asteroid belt, and looking closely at Jupiter with his astral body. because he stated that he had been a ring around the fifth planet, when Pioneer 10 did its flyby mission after Swan's claims, it was confirmed that Jupiter did have rings around it. This was something that modern scientists were mostly unaware of at the time, and that Swan made his claim. Incidentally, just to endorse Swan's claims that his ability to astral project was true, he identified objects that had been placed in several envelopes hundreds of miles from the location of his physical body. Remote viewing is a fringe science at best, and is mostly ignored by mainstream academia. Swan's claims, though, are very interesting, and he could possibly be the only man to have traveled all the way to Jupiter, even if only in his mind.
I think the idea of astral projection is fascinating, and I wish that that was something that I could do, and I wish that it was something that was real.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I find fascinating, too. It does have a horror aspect to it when you think about the whole thing with your body being left behind and what could happen to it.
Right, you'd have to be in a very safe place.
Yeah. But I've always found it fascinating, too, like, it's used in... let's say, like, a recent movie, Doctor Strange, he astral projects in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have that. But, yeah, I've always found that fascinating. If you could travel, and maybe it's almost a lazy man's way of traveling, like, you could travel without all the hassle of doing it.
Right. Well, I don't know that I'd want to use it in everyday life, though. Like, if I want to go to the beach, I want to go to the beach. My whole body wants to go to the beach. But... for exploration, I mean, if you could astral project, like, down to the deepest part of the ocean, that would just remove the need for any technology. You could just go.
Yeah, that's true.
It's super convenient.
And, like, anywhere dangerous would be perfect for it. So.
Yeah, well, you could learn anything. You could spy on people and they wouldn't know. You could watch, you know, some animal that we don't know about their social habits or their mating habits or something. You can watch them and they wouldn't know. It'd be totally uninvasive.
So
I think if this were a thing, we would be using it a lot more and not to explore Jupiter.
So, like, you found this one very fascinating. Would this be the one the closest that you would believe?
No, because I think mostly this sort of feels to me like psychics and Ouija boards and all that kind of stuff where there are tricks involved, and it's more like I want to figure out how the magician is making people think he's doing these things. You know, it's a cold read or whatever. I just think it's one that maybe because it's a little bit more like fantasy.
Yeah.
And I'm more into fantasy than science fiction. So this one just sort of feels more like, oh, I want to know more. I want to see what this would look like. I want somebody to tell me what it feels like and really get into it.
I like this one in a way because it's also the most non-aggressive one, I think, in
yes.
a way. Because
yeah.
it's like you're not invading a planet. It doesn't involve Nazis. It doesn't involve hurting anybody. It's just travel.
Right. It's just this guy went out there and saw some stuff. It's like science for science's sake kind of thing. Yeah, I agree. What else did I think about this one? I don't know. So Jupiter is one of the gas planets, right?
Yes. As far as I know, I think it is.
Do all of the gas planets have rings? I know Saturn does.
I think Jupiter and Saturn's the only one. I mean, I'm not, a big on the things, but I think only those two do.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to think, like, his whole thing about only a few people knew that there was a ring, and then he said, oh, I see a ring. Like, I wonder how much knowledge he had, or how much, whether or not he talked to anybody. I just sort of like thinking about how he found out, or how he pulled that piece of information out.
Yeah, and, like, I wonder if, like, on some of these things, like, where it's like, oh, this person, like said this and it happened, or this was true and they shouldn't have known about it. Maybe the person's just smart. You know?
Right.
Maybe
right.
He just thought, like, maybe they have rings around Jupiter, and then he's like, but I'm going to use that as, like, a prediction of it. You know what I mean?
Right. He could figure out, well, this is the circumstance that makes a ring, so it's likely there's a ring. So I'm going to say there's a ring, and then everybody's going to believe me.
Yeah. And plus, if you're wrong, the thing about a lot of these psychic type things, like if you're wrong, it's not a big deal. But if you're right, it's a huge thing if you're right.
Right, exactly.
It's like a guessing game. You get it right, people remember. They don't remember it if you get it wrong.
Right. Oh, and there are all those internet things where somebody, there are a bunch on YouTube where they're like, okay, I'm going to guess your number. And then they ask a bunch of questions, and not the ones that lead you through the whole math thing where all everybody's number ends up being the same. But there was one where he was like, I don't know, at the end he flipped over a card, and all these people had reposted saying, oh my God, that was my number. I can't believe, how did you do it? Blah, blah, blah. I did it like 6 times. He never got my number. So I didn't repost it. So of course, all of the sharing of this, you know, myth is going to occur when it happens to line up. So there could have been a dozen Ingo Swans making astral projection, you know, claims, and we don't know anything about them because they didn't get it right. He just happened to guess right.
It's like, have you ever seen a live psychic reading, like with the crowd and stuff?
No. Well, I mean, just on TV, which is fake, but...
Yeah. But I went to one with a friend, but just because we were interested in going. Mm-hmm. It's such an interesting thing because the person will pick somebody out of the crowd, or he'll say something and draw somebody in. But they're wrong like 8 times before they get right. But nobody remembers those 8 times they were wrong beforehand.
Right, because they're so excited when they get it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. My friend Jordan that I do the other podcast with wants to go. That was one of our things, was to go to a psychic. Because during the Ouija board episode, I was like, this is ridiculous. You guys are crazy. She's like, no, we're going to go to my psychic and prove this to you. And I'm just like, I'm going to ruin it for her. Because I'm going to tell her exactly how this person knew everything or guessed everything. Because it's all just cold reading and being really smart and picking up on body language and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, it, like, don't invite somebody you think might, you know, spoil your fun.
Right, right. So ruin this for you, you don't want to take me. But at the same time, I want to go because I want to see somebody who's that good that they can convince people over and over and over and over again that they really are reading minds or talking to the dead. Or,
well, when I was
think that's fascinating.
When I was in college and we did psychology classes, the teacher brought in a code reader, you know, a person that does that type of stuff. And he went in detail showing us how he could do that. And it was fascinating to see somebody that could basically pick little bits of information and pull it out of you. You're telling them what they want to know, basically, and then they feed it back to you in a way and make you think that that's what it is.
Right. I think that would be a skill. That's a skill I wish I had just for my daily life. I could be so successful in the world if that was my skill, where I could just read somebody like that.
Yeah, it's just fascinating to look at, like, how that thing's like. I don't get angry about, like, people with psychic readings and stuff. I'm sorry, but this speaks like some kind of alien porno to me.
Yes, this is the start to, and then all the astronauts got together and.
So, like, if we do future episodes of this, and let us know if you like it and what your favorite conspiracies are and stuff, next time Aaron would be the one hosting.
Woohoo! So, I have a question about that. Are we going to stick with conspiracies? Are we doing top 10 conspiracies or just top 10 anything?
I think it would be cool just to do top 10 anything.
Anything. So if my subject for next time is favorite farm animals, which it totally won't be, I promise. That still technically fits.
Yes, it still technically fits.
Okay, I think that sounds great. So that means that, listeners, you should definitely contact us and let us know your favorite top 10 lists and what you want to hear about.
Yeah, and we might use yours for a future episode.
Do we have any way for people to contact us? I don't think we've set anything up yet.
No, we haven't set anything up yet, but if you go on my site, tinuniverse.blogspot.com, which is where, like, you'll have a find a base for, like, Tinpod Radio and other stuff. If you go on there, when I post this episode, And you can drop comments and tell us what's your favorite conspiracy or one you would want, or top 10 list, and something you would want us to cover. And we'll do that.
Absolutely. And if you want to send hate mail about how dismissive we are of all of these conspiracies because you believe they're real, it's Brian.
You can put that there too. I monitor all the comments so I can delete at will.
Awesome. Well, can I end our episode by telling a joke?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, this is going to lose every single listener that we might have. You ready? All right, so the density of Saturn is so low that, let's say you could like shrink it down and stick it in your bathtub, it would float in your bathwater, okay? But you wouldn't want to do that. You know why?
Why?
Because it would leave enormous rings around the tub. And now everybody has stopped listening.
So, Erin, you want again tell people where they can find you before we get out here?
Sure. So you can find this episode, which you're already listening to, on Tin Pod Radio. And you can find my other podcast on it's Crime Crazy that I do with Jordan Middleton at podbean.crimecrazy.com. I'm sorry, that's backwards. Crimecrazy.podbean.com is actually where we are. But we're also on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, so you can find us all kinds of places.
And like I said before, if people want to leave comments on this or anything, go to tenure.blogspot.com. And if you want to talk to me or rant about me, you can go on Hanga Wednesday on Twitter.